Welcome back to another episode of Obsessed with Death. Thank you so much for continuing to listen and support the podcast. Today's episode is with Rosie Grant. We discuss gravestone recipes. I, of course, had seen in passing before people who included some sort of recipe on a gravestone, but I never really thought about it that much or realized like how much meaning is behind that. Obviously, food is a big part of a lot of people's lives, and I just love the idea that either the person passing or the person's family felt like it was appropriate to include this specific type of recipe on a gravestone for a person that had passed. Rosie is documenting these gravestone recipes from all over the world and even cooking most of them. You can follow her on Instagram and TikTok, ghostly.archive. It's a great follow. Rosie is the absolute coolest. I had such a fun conversation with her, and you are going to enjoy this episode. And make sure you do all the things. Follow us on Instagram, on Twitter, share the episode, tell a friend. Do all those things that you're supposed to do if you want to help spread and support the podcast. I think that's all I got. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. And enjoy another episode of Obsessed with Death. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I am very excited to have you here. I found your Instagram because it seems like we're both sort of like living in this fun little like internet death world that we've all found. And I felt like I immediately had to speak with you.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, we are in the internet death world for sure.
Isn't it kind of funny? It's like, I feel... As long as you know, because I feel like there's like a lot of like Instagram, like death related accounts that like come and go kind of quick. Mm. And then if you stick around for at least like a year, you sort of just everybody just sort of starts to get to know everybody. Like I'm like looking at like people that follow you or that you follow. And I'm like, oh, we know like a bunch of the same people. And
yes.
it takes the algorithm however long as it takes for us to sort of, you know, pop up in each other's feeds. But it's always exciting when, you know, you find someone new.
It's so true. It's so like I'm still, I would say, relatively new to the like death spaces on the internet.
Yeah.
And yeah, every day it's like a new person that I thought I was just connected to or they thought they were just connected to. We have the same like middle friend and it's such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's a really interesting community of people. I always feel like I have the best conversations with people who are like in the death space, just because I feel like it's a different type of person. And you know, part of why I feel like I started doing this was because I wanted to have more of these like death types of conversations. And I've mentioned this before, but I could tell them like my friends were like getting sick of like me constantly wanting to like talk about death or like bringing it up or just making weird jokes or whatever it was. I could tell, you know, at some point they were going to have to sit me down and be like, look, we don't want to talk about dying all the time. You've got to figure out a way to like find some people. And that was sort of why I started the podcast, was to meet people like you and to be able to have these conversations. One, because I could tell I was annoying all of my friends. And I would like to keep those relationships. So, and I understand not everybody wants to talk about death all the time. That's totally understandable. And I don't want to talk about death all the time, but it is still fun. And I feel like I've had some of the best conversations in my life with these different people that I've been meeting. And it is fun. I think obviously there's a stigma around it. People get uncomfortable. Again, part of why I'm doing this is to make this less uncomfortable, and like death is terrifying, but like that doesn't mean you can't like talk about it.
Oh my gosh. Yes. It's so true. Yeah. And I feel like finding your circles will definitely, I found this too. Yeah. Cause like your average person is like, I have like a tiny like capacity for talking about this. And some people are like, no, I need to like wrap my head around this like insane thing that we all are facing. Would you consider yourself like more part of the death positive movement? It sounds like from your own work, you're doing that anyways.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's something I'm still sort of figuring out. I've been doing this podcast. I think we're like coming up on like 50 episodes or something.
Oh my gosh! Congrats.
Close to that. We're getting there. Thank you. And so we've been doing this for a while. We started like right before the pandemic started, so like there was like a little bit of a break, just because it didn't feel like it was like the right time to be doing a death podcast. I figured we'd hold off a little bit, but I was still interacting with people and having this conversation. So yeah, it's been going on for a while, but I still feel like I'm figuring like where my place is in all of this, because I feel like there's people that are like, if this is their life and it's something that they feel like they have to do and be a part of. And I don't know if I necessarily feel like it's something that like I have to be doing. It's more of like something I need to be doing for like my anxiety, like around, you know, death, and talking about it helps. So yeah, I'm trying to figure out where, you know, my place is in all of this. And I'm curious, and this is sort of how I like to start the episodes off, is obviously, you know, there's a reason why you're on the show, and death is obviously a part of your life. But, you know, how much would you consider death like as a part of your life? Like, are you thinking about it every day? When did you start thinking about it? Was it scary when you first started? These are a million questions. But like, what is death? How is death a part of your life?
I love that question. That's so beautifully worded. I don't think I've actually like thought about it of like an origin point like that. So that's so cool. I mean, I think I was very lucky growing up that I did not come across death that often. Like my relatives were healthy. I didn't really have to experience it until I was in college. And I was an English major, and I was in this group of girls who like we all met at an 8 a.m. Monday morning class in our first semester of freshman year. And this group, I was like, these are going to be my friends. Like, these will be the ladies that I'm still calling when I'm like 90. Like, we're going to be friends for forever. We just like bonded. We were all super different. And it was just like this really beautiful group. And unfortunately, junior year, one of the girls committed suicide. And it completely, I was so I mean, obviously, like, any like young and like unexpected and shocking death, like if it's not like illness related, is like so horrifying, but for, you know, for anybody, but I felt so ill prepared to like handle that. Like, I mean, obviously grief comes in so many different ways, but I for myself, I was just like for years, like angry. Like I was angry at death. I was angry at like this thing that we would all eventually have to deal with. And like, I think like that was just that anger was really masking a lot of fears that I had around it. Like I would be afraid to like take vacations or that my parents would go anywhere. Cause I'm like, well, what if like an accident happens or, you know, whatever. So I would say like I had such an unhealthy relationship with it for so long. And then flash forward to, I am going to library science school and I need an internship. And I was looking for like archives internships in the Washington DC area. I was at the University of Maryland. And I needed something very flexible, and because I was working full time during this master's program. And the one internship that I ended up getting, which was very flexible, it let me work on weekends. It had a very interesting archive to like digitize, which was my job, was at a cemetery. And so like virtually overnight, my whole world started surrounding of like topics in death and what, you know, like. And my boss, like, it was such a, I was at Congressional Cemetery, which is like arguably like one of the most lively, like for the living cemeteries. And it was like my first time of seeing all of these like very like healthy minded people talking about death so openly. And I was just floored because I was like, you all seem like just so like normal and happy and well-adjusted, you know? You know, again, it's like we all have like that tragedy of like, I lost my mom, I lost my so-and-so, I lost my friend. And like, that was like a changing point for me of just like, oh, I think this is way healthier to talk about this stuff because it is inevitable for ourselves and our loved ones. And like, it's made harder, these harder things a little bit more breathable and like having more conversations. Like my own friend group, we started actually like talking about really tough topics like this loss of this friend. And I was like incapable of doing that beforehand.
Yeah, that's so interesting. You mentioned how everyone just, you were almost surprised that there were happy people working at a cemetery.
Shocking, right?
It's so, no, but it's so funny because there is sort of this depiction that like the world or like television and movies gives in a sense that like when you picture somebody working in a cemetery or a morgue, that they're like this old scary person that like they've never smiled before. And you're
Yeah,
like,
we're in all
that's just,
black.
yeah, it's like, that's just not it at all.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that, yeah, I think is going to surprise someone like you who ends up being a part of something like that, or just somebody in general, I think, that maybe in life meets somebody and it's like they meet a person and they seem like this happy, quote
Yeah.
unquote, normal person. And then they find out that, oh, well, they work in a morgue or they work in a cemetery. And you're like, I didn't think people like, I thought like people that looked like Frankenstein worked at a morgue, but it's I think it's something that surprises a lot of people at first. It surprised me too, that there
Totally.
are, you know, so many different types of people that are
Yeah.
doing these jobs, and you don't have to be like this, you know, this type of person that they put in a bubble that would work in a place like that. So it's interesting to me that you would decide. You obviously mentioned that, you know, that you needed something flexible, and it was sort of just a choice you made based off of like the schedule and the life that you were living. But what do you remember, like even like the thought process that you had where you were like, oh, well, I'm going to start working at the cemetery now? Like, do you remember consciously still making that choice?
Yeah, I mean, in a weird way, it did. It fit in like on like the interest level in so many ways. Like, I found cemeteries. I did love cemeteries. I think they're very beautiful. They're very like peaceful places. Also in Washington D.C., like it feels like every cemetery has like a different like vibe to it. Congressional Cemetery, I'd been to like tours before. They have like this very fun speakeasy history program where you like do tours of all the residents. And so yeah, like I as like uncomfortable I was with like death itself, the like history side and the story side of like people who were buried there, I thought like that side was interesting. I should add also, my parents are both ghost tour guides in Alexandria, Virginia. And so like it's funny, like we were very much comfortable with the surface level of death, but then like yeah, like the deeper like loss of a person was still, it's still something that I'm like kind of getting accustomed to. And then honestly, it was because I was learning so much is why I started my TikTok account about it, just because I was like, this is so fascinating. And kind of like what we were saying earlier of like, there's this whole community out there of people who were exactly like you and I, like just interested in this and asking questions and getting more comfortable with these topics. Like quite a lot of like both cemetery professionals and hospice workers, or even just, yeah, like storytellers who are like just interested, which was so beautiful.
We can't skip over the fact that you just mentioned both of your parents are ghost tour guides.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Right. Yeah. It's their retirement jobs, which I mean, especially for my dad, it's so up his alley. He is such a huge history buff. He worked for the government for like the majority of his life.
Yeah.
And now that he's retired, he gets to just like tell stories all day, which he's in heaven about.
Yeah, that's so cool. When you first said that both your parents did that, my brain immediately went to like, that's how they met. And it was like, their whole life was just like, there it was just a marriage of telling ghost stories, which.
Oh my gosh, I wish that would be
Somebody
amazing.
Write that movie.
Yeah, right? Oh, that's this weird like romance story that buds from a ghost tour. Yeah,
yeah, I would love
honestly.
that. That's but still okay. So both of your parents retired, and then they decided we want to do ghost tours now.
Mm-hmm,
That's
exactly.
that's amazing. I'm gonna have to. Your parents are coming on the podcast. We're figuring that
Amazing!
out.
Oh my gosh, yes, they would love
I
that.
did. I did like a whole ghost story episode a while back. I can't. I'm blanking on the guest name, which is really unfortunate. I'll have to look it up.
Oh,
But
you have 50 episodes, you know.
it's he wrote like this entire book about like ghost stories, and he was like telling us about all kinds of crazy stuff. It was really, really interesting, and I want to do more stuff like that.
Oh, I love stuff like that. That's awesome.
But that's so interesting that your parents would have this sort of interest to go into like that sort of world. Did they show it? Was there any sort of, did they show any sort of interest in that in your childhood? You sort of mentioned that death wasn't really a big part of your childhood. So I'm guessing
not at all.
Really bring it up a lot. They didn't like tell you ghost stories as a kid or anything.
We loved Halloween as kids. I would say my family's more kooky than spooky. Like we liked Halloween. We would love very bad horror films. Like we're not very like super gruesome violent horror films, but anything that was kind of aesthetic, scary movies from the 1950s is something especially really bad ones was right up our alley. And so we loved, I think at the end of the day, my mom loves learning new things and exploring new places. She's just she loves walking all over the place and she just loves a good challenge. And my dad loves storytelling and he really, really, he's this huge history buff. So I feel if anything, ghost stories were just a fun, goofy avenue for them. Because they also do regular history tours. My mom does a women's history tour and my dad does a lot of military history tours. So they do it all. But the fact that they do these ghost tours to me is the most hilarious thing that the three of us are now kind of all in this universe a little bit by accident.
Yeah, it is really interesting how you all have sort of ended up in this somewhat of the same space, all these years later.
Yeah, it's so funny. We're all the last, and this is again, we all pretty much started this during the pandemic. So this is very new for us.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. I mean, I feel kind of you were saying, the pandemic was, especially at the beginning, was such a heavy time for thinking about death. But at the same time, it's it was on everyone's mind and consciousness for the first time at such a universal, worldwide level. I'm sure a lot of people had been dealing with death privately amongst family members or, whatever with themselves. But then for all of us collectively to be so aware of our own mortality.
Oh my gosh.
So quickly. So that was, I can't help but wonder if that also has played into all of us in these things that we've discovered recently. Cause so after the internship and I started learning about gravestones and gravestone history and posting about it, that was kind of where my whole universe took off, but it's all very recent, honestly.
Yeah. I would be interested to see how much of an uptick the topic of death had after, that first year or so of the pandemic, because like you said, I mean, it was basically on a global scale. Everybody was being reminded at the exact same time that you could one day be totally fine and then the next it's over. Like it could be that quick. And it's an unfortunate reminder, of course, but it's unfortunately also, something that happens to people all the time, which is so terrifying.
Mm-hmm,
to be able to just wake up one morning and everything seems fine and then it's all over.
Yeah, it's absurd. I mean, the absurdity of
worst
of it. Yeah, it's so crazy to grapple with, which I mean, think for me, that's when I came to starting to find recipes on gravestones and cook through them. I think that was my aha moment of you're talking about finding our place in the death community. Cause I'm not a hospice worker. I my internship ended. So I have very limited experience with the death industry, but I felt food and death made it so much easier to talk about hard topics. Cause I don't want to talk about my parents dying, but I do want to talk about how they want to recipes in our family that people who have passed away or really good things that my mom makes that I'm I want to make sure I know how to make it. And that feels a so much easier venue. Cause otherwise then I would just be well, life's absurd. This is so impossible to think about.
Well, yeah. I mean, you've sort of found another, so okay. Death obviously affects every single one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, everyone needs to eat. Right.
Yeah.
So it's these are
two constants.
these are two things that is going to everyone can relate to.
Yeah.
So I think that's great. Obviously, nobody wants to just sit down and be all right, so we're all going to die one day.
Yeah. Cool.
And we'll never see each other again forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever, depending on what you believe, I'm open to other options, but there is a possibility. No one wants that. That's like the worst version of that conversation. I don't want to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm meeting people and talking about death all the time. I try and avoid that version every single time because, yes, that sometimes that has to, you know, that conversation has to happen. But there's so many other ways of doing it. And I loved looking through your Instagram. I definitely want to watch some of your TikToks, but I think that's such an interesting thing. I had seen it in the past, this idea of people putting recipes on gravestones, and I loved it, but I didn't really think too much of it. I never thought about actually making anything, and I do enjoy cooking. I love to cook. I grew up in a very cliche Italian family where it was like I'd come home and there's just like racks of like fresh pasta being made, like it always smelled good. Like there was always, you know, there was no eating fast food. It was like home cooked meals. So I grew up very much in this, like, you know, and I, to this day, I mean, my dad will just randomly come over and just bring me a loaf of bread. Like he's just
amazing.
It's the best. It's the absolute best. And unfortunately, I don't think he wants to be, I believe he wants to be cremated.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Actually, I know that for sure because he actually made his own, he made basically what he wants his ashes to be put in. He's a very, very handy fella. So
I love that so much.
So I don't know, maybe we could figure out a way because he's got a couple of recipes that I feel like would be perfect. And maybe you could help me come up with something because he's not dying anytime soon. Hopefully he's I'm not saying like, oh, my dying, I need your help with my dying dad. He's very, very much healthy and alive, but at some point he will be dead. And I would love to maybe brainstorm some ideas on what, like, is there a way, like maybe we could like put like a recipe on like the little jar that he built, I guess, right? I mean, is that something people do?
No, literally. I mean, I think like for me, the project has really opened my eyes to all the ways that people want to be buried. And because I think like, obviously, like I'm so happy that you guys have this conversation because like this is something my family is slowly working through of like kind of like afterlife planning.
Yeah.
And I love it. Like some people are like, I love gravestone recipes, but like, I want my ashes scattered to the wind in this park that I grew up in. And I'm like, that's beautiful. Like that's whatever the thing is. I mean, as far as like where recipes are actually like put into place, like, you know, some people do get cremated, but they still have a gravestone somewhere with just like their name and whatever information that they want, but there's no body.
That's one.
Some people put it in their obituaries. One of the recipe people, like at the funeral, the family handed out a cookbook that was made by the woman.
I love
for everyone that. There. Right. It was. So she actually, the daughter sent me the cookbook that they'd handed out. And it's like all of her mother's favorite recipes, which is so beautiful.
That's amazing.
Right. Yeah.
That's an incredible idea. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Will you be the one who likely will like house the ashes, like if it's in a container, or does he want it like placed somewhere?
It seems like he's a woodworker by trade. So he literally built like this beautiful, like little like vase, I guess, that he wants his ashes put in. He showed it to me. Beautiful. He was like casually just like showing me like a thing he made. And he's like, oh, by the way, this is where I want my ashes.
Put my ashes.
I'm like, okay, cool. And then it was just like, on to the next thing. It was a very, very casual. And he listens to the podcast. He's going to hear this.
Oh my gosh. That's so cool.
I don't know if it's me doing this or what it is, but, and again, I just like having these conversations. So I try and make it as, you know, comfortable as possible.
Yeah.
You know, I had mentioned this, but, you know, before, on the podcast as well, you know, my mom had like this like major surgery and she's doing fine now, but we would have like these conversations before the surgery where it was like, okay, this is the plan, right? Like, if you die, we need like a code. Like, you got to do a thing. Like, we literally just came up with a way to be like, you got to make it rain, or like the wind's got to blow a certain way. Like, we got to come up with like an afterlife thing, like a sign, like
that we know you're there. Yeah.
And then if it's not, then I'll go, okay, well, maybe it's not. But these are the conversations that we're having. I think
I love that.
It's a lot more fun than just being like, well, I guess this is it.
I think it's exactly that.
Have some fun with it.
Right? Having fun and being like, how do I want to be memorialized is so beautiful. I feel like there's this like interesting TikTok trend going on right now. And it's like, when I go, don't look for me in the sunset or whatever, like look for me. And it's whatever, something that was important. Like, look for me in the chocolate chip cookies you're eating. Or, like, look for me in like every cute dog you pet or whatever the thing is.
Yeah, I love that.
My presence is there.
Well, you got me thinking now, because the idea of a cookbook is incredible. Yeah. Or even just like a little like pamphlet of a handful of recipes would be really cool.
Yeah, our family cookbook. I think my family, we've started talking about this, of like doing some, because you know, like community, there's like community cookbooks all over the place of like churches and like, you know, bake sales and stuff. And what we're talking about is our own like family cookbook and like collecting family recipes. My mom has this like old recipe index box where it's like handwritten from my great grandmother. And I don't think we've ever like made anything from it, but my mom remembers eating some of the stuff. And so trying to put like typing it up and putting it together. I mean, essentially it's like a family archive that you're putting together.
Yeah.
And that's so cool that your family like is like making bread and making pasta. Like, what a beautiful way to celebrate someone.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's the best. I'm so, so lucky in that sense. And I think part of why, you know, what you do resonated so much, because it did sort of have me thinking about all of that. And I am really curious as to like how all of this got started. Obviously you did this internship and all of this other stuff, but like, when did you start? Cause you're basically, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but basically what you're doing is you're going around to all of these different cemeteries and you're finding different recipes on people's gravestones, and then you're baking these different recipes.
Yep, exactly that.
What's happening?
Yeah, so I mean, how it started was I was in the internship, but then part of my library science classes, it was all about like social networks and like libraries in general for the sake of like advocacy and stuff, and like even like sharing resources or getting more onto social. So this class was like how to go viral on some platform of choice, and we could pick one. Mm-hmm. We had to post every day. We had to post like, so I picked TikTok because it was at the time brand new. And since we had to post every day for about 3 months, and I was like pitching different ideas to the professor, and she was like, you should make it about your cemetery internship. And I was like, is there an audience for that? And she's like, yes, there's an audience for everything. And there definitely is an audience for cemeteries. So that was my like entry into grave talk. And so I was posting about cemeteries and gravestones in general as I was learning. And then I did hear about Naomi Odessa Miller Dawson, who's buried in Brooklyn, New York. And she was the first one I heard about. It was like an Atlas Obscura article, which Atlas in general is like such an amazing resource for cemeteries and like grave content. And like, they do really beautiful, like interviews and stories about different places. And so I read the story about Naomi's Spritz cookie grave. And just because I had to post every day, I was learning how to cook during the pandemic. It was all of my pandemic qualities coming together and hobbies and whatnot. And so I felt the same. Like it was truly just because I was doing like storytelling and videos every day that I was like, oh, I wonder what this tastes like. And so that's why I cooked it. Yeah. And literally my TikTok exploded. Like, and I thought the most interesting part was like, a lot of people were like, oh, I just didn't know this was a thing. But so many people commented with like family stories. And they're like, you know, my dad just passed away. He loved making pizza and I miss his pizza. Or my grandmother makes Spritz cookies too. This is how she makes hers. And it was like all of this like beautiful storytelling around food and different families. And then when I was looking more into Naomi, I learned that there were several other grave recipes that had been featured in like blog posts, and a few made local news. So like, there was a woman in Utah named Kay who her fudge recipe had made local news, and a woman named Maxine who's buried in Iowa and her Christmas cookies. And so I was like looking at them and I started just trying all of these ones out. And when I got to like five or six, I was like, that's it. Like, this is the most I'm assuming that's out there. And then more just kept coming. And like, yeah, you know, I kind of reached the end of like Google searching and just like finding like casually on the internet with like SEO. I at one point found these snickerdoodle cookies from a woman buried in California because someone misspelled recipe and I misspelled recipe in one of my hashtags. And I was like, oh, there's one other post tagged to this.
Yeah.
And it was someone who also had misspelled recipes that it posted about this grave while wandering by. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And then, yeah, like, I mean, it's now turned into this like kind of like archival discovery of like people in the comments will be like, I think I've seen someone somewhere. And like for the long, for like a year, I was like, some people kept being like, I think I saw a carrot cake one. And I, you know, somewhere out there. And I would follow up and be like, do you know where it was? And they're like, maybe California, maybe not. And then eventually, it turned out that it was two carrot cakes, and even one of them, like the family themselves, reached out and they're like, this is our mom's carrot cake. We make it every Easter. We would love for you to try it. Here's her recipe.
Wow.
She's buried outside of St. Louis. And even like literally as of like, I keep waiting for this. I mean, keep assuming this project will end. I'll just run out of recipes. But like 2 days ago, a woman in Florida reached out and her great grandmother is buried in Fort Myers. And she was like, do you want to try my grandmother's guava cobbler? It's on her gravestone. And she sent the photo and I was like, we have a new one.
That's amazing.
So yeah, like it keeps turning into to new ones, which is exciting. And then even in the meantime, just learning about like food and death has been like a second part of this project. Like a lot of recipes get mentioned in obituaries, or like, you know, like some of these gravestones have like mentions of food, like, you know, she made the best meatloaf, or yeah, this guy loved Irish coffee. And if I can get their recipe, then that feels like very much a part of the project.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, again, something I really didn't think about, but makes so much sense, right? Like just in the fact that food is such a big part of so many people's lives, mm-hmm, that you would think it would make sense for that to be a part of the end of their life as well.
Yeah, exactly that. There was a woman who her gravestone is in Arkansas, but she's actually still alive, named Peg, and her sugar cookie is on her grave. So I actually got her phone number and called her, and we had she's so lovely. She's like, yeah, kicking it, still very much alive. And when her husband passed away, the two of them put up their gravestones together.
Oh, okay, so hers is just like waiting.
Hers
for
is
her
up there, yeah. But she's still doing well. And
good,
I was like,
"Did
you put your sugar cookie recipe?" Because I actually like, I'm like, I get to talk to one of these people. This is so cool.
Yeah.
And she was like, "I was so proud of this cookie recipe. Like, when I think about how do I want to be remembered, like this was the recipe that I would send my kids to school with on birthdays, and the teachers would ask for the recipe. I would make it for like potlucks." And my neighborhood all knew me for it. And I'm like, I'm really proud of this cookie recipe. And like, I want to be known for that. And I'm like, that's what a gift. Like, it wasn't even just that, like, she loved sugar cookies, but it's like the gift of how she made it to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. It's really, really incredible. I think that it gives me a lot. I don't know. I feel like after doing this for a while and talking to so many people, you sort of feel like you get a sense of like what the I mean, protocol is not the right word, but just like sort of like what happens after you die, right? Like it always just seemed to me like, okay, well, you gotta obviously square away bills and get a will and all that stuff, and then obviously you want to tell your friends and family, whoever, like how you want, you know, your funeral to be, or how, you know, whatever it is that you want to do after you die. But you never really think about, or at least I never really thought about, like, well, why not include these hobbies or these other things that you also loved? And the fact that people are putting recipes on gravestones, just, it makes me way too happy. And
I know, right? It's so sweet. It's also, it feels like a very modern thing too. I mean, this is what I learned from Congressional Cemetery was, you could tell like all the older gravestones look pretty much the same. And I think it's like, someone dies, you put your name, like a spiritual quote, maybe a symbol, which like those are so beautiful too. I love those gravestones.
Sure. But
more recently, if you walk through a modern cemetery, people can get memorialized any which way. Like if it was important to you, you can put it on your gravestone. And it's so cool for the people that have I'm in Los Angeles now and I live right next to Hollywood Forever Cemetery. And there's my favorite one currently is a gravestone surrounded by statues of wiener dogs. And this guy just loves dachshunds. They're so cute. And he's still alive, but his gravestone is there and he keeps putting up statues for every pet he has, which is all dachshunds. So he's, I think, up to 9 of these little dog statues. Cause that's important to him. And it's so cute. And your dad wants to be cremated and put into this beautiful container that he created. That is so cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you're saying, when you think about death, you just think about that traditional headstone, right? Where it's just name, date, maybe a quote of some kind.
Mom.
And then, yeah. And then that's it. And it's there's just so much, there can be so much more to it. And I think that's really exciting. And I hope other people are as excited about that as I am. Because, it just sort of adds another element to that whole process. And it's a fun element, too. It doesn't have to be all of this doom and gloom kind of stuff of just born and death dates. You could have, your favorite cookie recipe. Did you have a favorite? I mean, this is sort of an easy question, but do you have any sort of favorite recipes that you found? Are you catching yourself remaking something that you found before?
Yeah, definitely. Most of them have been desserts. So I've probably the most frequently made Naomi's spritz cookie, partially just because that was the first one. And the first time I made it, there's no instructions. And so I made it very incorrectly. And it was honestly through crowdsourcing TikTok comments where people were like, you're supposed to use a cookie press for this. And I was like, what's a cookie press? And so I got a Wilton, a modern cookie press, and I made the cookies again. And it's so fun to press them down into these really delicate little shapes.
Yeah.
And then eventually I actually met the family and we cooked it together the way that she had cooked it. And so I think that one to me was so beautiful to hear their stories and her life growing up in Brooklyn and her loving food and just instilling this. And now they're her great grandson is now the resident cookie maker of their family, which is so cool.
I love that.
So yeah, that one has such a special place for me. And it's a really beautiful gravestone too.
Yeah.
I make the snickerdoodles quite a lot, which is the grave of a woman named Annabelle. They make a ton of cookies and I love snickerdoodles. That was a cookie I had a lot as a kid.
Yeah.
So that one's great. And then the one that I also make for some reason quite often is there's a grave in Israel. So there's only two that I know about that are international and very few of them are also men's gravestones. Most of these are women. So one of the few guys was this kibbutz chef named Jacob, who his grave is in Hebrew. And I work at the American Jewish University as a digital librarian. So I had one of the other librarians translate the grave for me.
Oh,
and then,
cool.
It was very, it was a very tough piecing it together because it also was just ingredients. So the librarians basically just crowdsource other different recipes where they're it kind of looks like this kind of recipe and it's a yeast bread.
Got it.
And it is so good. My friend group has requested that the most often. I've made it for a few gatherings and it's really, really good bread. And I'm not good at making yeast bread. I can't make sourdough for my life. So that was, it felt like a huge win.
Yeah, that's great. It's so interesting. I didn't really think about this either as we were talking about it, but it does seem like most are desserts, right?
Yeah.
Is that mostly what people are putting on there?
Yeah, I think desserts have been the majority of them. I think in part because I don't know, there's something nice about it being a sweet treat. Almost it's life short, why not eat the cake or whatever?
Yeah.
But I also think there's only so much landscape on a gravestone, I should say real estate, and it's very expensive. And so for a lot of these people, it seems like they were popular family cooks, they would cook for family gatherings and stuff. But a sugar cookie or any kind of cookie recipe is pretty forgiving. You don't have to have the most detailed instructions. These aren't lasagna recipes that need 19 steps and take 2 days to make or whatever. They're very simple. And I think so it lends itself more easily to a gravestone.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind having like a three-course meal on like the back of a gravestone, but I guess, yeah, it's expensive and a lot of work. But yeah, that makes sense. And mostly women too, you mentioned, which I thought was interesting because I mean, I know plenty of men who cook, maybe less desserts, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's something, yeah, that's interesting to me. I'd love to eventually live in a world where there's more cookie recipes on men's gravestones, you know?
Right? Yeah, no,
We gotta get
totally.
there.
I mean, the three guys that I've like come across, and one of them is only not even technically a recipe grave, but it does like mention the thing, the food thing that they invented, which is the inventor of Irish coffee. His gravestone mentions it. But the other two, I mean, so Yackel's is one, Jacobs is one. And the other one is a mint brownie recipe of a guy who was a funeral director. And his mint brownie recipe is on his. But yeah, I don't know. I think like I was like Googling like different chefs to be like, you know, like does James Beard or like Julia Child, like any of these people have theirs. And Julia Child actually has like the most unusual grave. She's buried underwater in this like underwater cemetery in
What?
Florida. Yeah. Google this. Like I was like, I need to do more research on this because this is insane.
I'm immediately fascinated. I mean, I grew up watching Julia Child was always on TV in my house.
Oh,
Always.
I love that. She's great. She's such
amazing.
Yes.
I mean, her story is incredible, an incredible human being for sure. But
Yes.
she's buried underwater?
Yeah, she's buried in this like marine cemetery in Florida. I don't know. I have planned to eventually make a TikTok about it just because I'm like, wait, how did I not know this? That's so unusual. I'd say do a quick like search because like I think I have a lot more like details to uncover. I usually don't really, I like surface leveled. It's in my like list of things of like, I need to go deeper into this.
Yeah,
like,
I didn't even know that was a thing that was possible.
Yeah, right. So in any case, the, yeah, of like chefs that I know, like none of them seem to be like food isn't necessarily mentioned on the graves that I've come across, like Anthony Bourdain as well. Like I was trying to see, but maybe that'll change in the future.
Yeah, you would assume, right, that like these are people who their whole life was like based around cooking.
Yeah.
It would make the most sense for them to have some sort of recipe or something food related.
Totally.
But I don't know, maybe if you spent your whole life doing that thing, you want to spend, you know, eternity not doing that thing. So you just sort of leave it alone.
Or even like knowing it's like an option, I think that's why it's like hit a chord with myself as well of just like, oh, this is an option. Like I can put whatever I can do that. Like that's so cool. And so I'm now talking with a publishing company about maybe turning this into a book. And this all came about because they were in Los Angeles talking to chefs, and chefs were like, oh, have you heard about gravestone recipes? Like, is this a new thing? Is this a thing that we're just becoming aware of? Like, it's an idea I never would have like thought, but like, it makes the gravestone like so actively like talking to people in the present of like, again, it's more than just like a name and a date and like an adjective about them. It's like something that people are like actively memorializing them every time they cook their recipe. So maybe there'll be more.
That's very exciting. Yeah, I would love for you to put something out like that. I would be very interested in checking that out. That's so exciting. It seems like you've got a lot of great stuff going on over there.
Yeah, I've been a very great, I felt like last year was just like kind of like expanding the like what is out there, and like, and this year is like, what do I do with this information? I think my goal for this year is like, book or no book, I want to meet the families. And of course, if anything does get published, it would have to be with their blessings, you know, like making sure that like the stories about their relative is like done with care. And I mean, obviously it would be amazing to like include personal stories about who these people were.
Yeah.
They all seem, the bits that I've heard so far from different relatives, like sharing stories, like they all sound so fun, amazing hosts, like just like very lively people. Yeah. And so, yeah, that'll, I think, be this coming year's project of, and for the future, for, you know, however long I'm researching this.
Yeah, that's really exciting. I'm excited for you. I'm excited to continue to keep my eye on your Instagram and see what you're up to.
Oh,
excuse me. I almost made it the whole episode without coughing into the microphone. So close. I appreciate you coming on the podcast. I've kept you for a while here. We'll wrap things up. I just have a few other small things here before we get going. Another super obviously easy question here, but do you plan on, have you thought about it? Are you thinking of a recipe that would end up on your gravestone? Is that something that you want to do now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, especially from this project, but I would love to be buried in congressional. I'm still debating of like, I've been learning about like green burials, and there's a lot of like complications with those, which are so interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't really necessarily, I mean, honestly, even if my body is cremated, I don't really care, but I would love the idea of like a headstone with a recipe. I would definitely do something savory. And so I'm debating right now between, I love clam linguine. And so either clam linguine recipe, oh man, it's so freaking good. yeah. Or mac and cheese. Mac and cheese, the one, sure. The recipe I like making is very multi-step. And so I don't know how expensive that would be. So clam linguine might honestly win out just for being easier to write out.
You just got to start saving now, you know,
right,
just
exactly,
start putting
exactly.
a little bit of money aside. And then by the time, you know, it comes, you could afford to just cover that.
Right.
That grave
like a payment recipes. Program or something. Yeah.
You figure it out. Yeah. I love that. I really like the idea of getting cremated, but then still having a gravestone. Cause I do. And I've mentioned this before, but I have obviously thought about my death and my funeral, and I have very specific instructions down to what I want the weather to be. So
awesome.
It's gotten very, very specific. So I do love the idea of being cremated. I think that's sort of the direction I want to go, but I do love the idea of still having a gravestone. You know, even though I'm not necessarily there, but I love that in general. So you've given me more to think about, which is very exciting. I love the idea of this sort of like cookbook that you could hand out. And there's just so much, that I realized I haven't thought about that could be done. So I really appreciate you, you know, doing what you're doing and bringing all of this sort of stuff to light that I think is super important.
Yeah. A lot of people. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. Please let everyone know what the Instagram and your TikTok and all that stuff and where you want people to go, and we'll get out of here.
Yeah, absolutely. People can find me at Ghostly Archive on TikTok or Instagram. Feel free to reach out, even if you have like a favorite grave feature. Of course, if people know about any gravestone recipes, by all means, let me know. But even if you just have like a favorite cemetery that you think is cool, I also have a link tree in both if people prefer email. So whatever floats your boat.
There we go. Yeah. Do you have a favorite cemetery? You know, you mentioned you live close to.
Hollywood Forever is wild. They have peacocks. They have so many insane like mausoleum, famous grave. It is a wild, wild place. They do movie nights and concerts. Yeah. But personally, I think Congressional Cemetery, if people are in the DC area, should absolutely. They have like weekly tours and book clubs and a beautiful events where they just like tell the stories of their residents. And you can do self-guided tours of just like histories that they've collected. Their archivist, Dale, is amazing. If you ever get a chance to meet her, she goes to a lot of their events. So I'd highly recommend that cemetery just in general.
Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah, I have yet to visit the Hollywood Cemetery out there, and I've heard you know, all kinds of interesting stories and tidbits, and it sounds amazing. I really do. I need to get out there at some point.
Yes, it is a wild, wild place.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. And this was a really fun conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. This is the coolest podcast. I love this.
Thank you. All right.